Camera two, pan in. Camera two, pan.
Move out of the way, camera two.
Welcome to episode two of the Apollo Hour. It is your boy Apollo Dez with Spaceman and new guy Brian LaLima. Our third co-host, Rupert Ruffneck, is on a deep cover investigative report. Right. Couldn't make it tonight. So, Rupert, while you're out there, keep on working. Keep on keeping your head down and keep on getting that investigative report, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, and try and keep it as little about the deep state as possible. I know that's your thing, but,
I can't wait to meet him.
For the brand. Let's come that
for down the brand. Yeah. New guy, Brian. Brian LaLima.
What's up?
From 790. We acquired him. We made a big-time acquisition like the Astros did. we pulled our Jeff Luna big boy pants on, and we said, hey, we want this guy. We're going to go get him. We may give the farm up. But, Brian, thanks for joining the team, first off, and coming out tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me. I'm happy to be a part of the team. I like the production setup here. I like the beer on the table, so this is kind of my style.
My man.
Yeah, I like how we have two cameras rolling, so we're good to go. I'm ready.
Two of them.
One. Camera one, two, pan in. Thank
two.
You.
Pan in for the,
no, yeah, I'm excited. I've followed you when you were doing, what was it, We Fly Together, Flags Fly Forever.
Flags Fly Forever.
Flags Fly Forever, yeah. So I remember seeing that back in the day on Twitter, and then saw you guys kind of take off with this Apollo stuff and tried to support from afar when I was with 790 and bought one of y'all shirts and got a little bit of Twitter traction, and then some things happened with 790 and coronavirus, and I'm glad to be on board. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think the sky's the limit. I've been telling you guys that for the last couple of days, so yeah. I'm ready to ride.
Appreciate it. Glad you were here.
100%. I think bringing on talent is the name of the game. We said that 9 months ago, that we're going to keep bringing the best talent around, and we're going to keep putting the best product out for the city. And I think we're doing that slowly but surely, and you guys are seeing the consumer seeing it day in and day out. So with these two guys, I mean, they can take over the world. So I'm happy that they're here. Boys, Thanksgiving tomorrow. Let's change it up a bit. I know everyone's here for the sports, but also for the culture.
Yep.
Thanksgiving. Let's go to top three favorite foods, and then the one thing you despise seeing it on the Thanksgiving spread.
That's going to be easy.
Okay. Brian, why don't
you want me to go?
Go for it.
Oh, man, for me, so I'm a big sides guy.
Same. I love sides.
So obviously, sides, I'm a turkey guy over ham. I don't really enjoy ham. So I'm going turkey,
I'm the other way.
Mac and cheese, mashed potatoes. So that's three things already. And then I'm going to throw in a fourth, green bean casserole.
Ooh.
And my absolute do not put anywhere near my spread. Don't put it on the table. Don't do anything.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cranberry sauce.
Bam, that's it.
I mean, the segment's over.
I mean,
the segment's over. That's across the board.
Yeah, especially the psychos that bring it out of the can straight onto the plate and it's ribbed and they cut it.
Yeah.
There's no room for that. Yeah. So, yeah, that's mine. I mean, no, don't bring cranberry around.
Yeah.
My mom's going to watch this, and she's going to be very pissed off at me because she loves cranberry sauce.
But, you know, I like the canned shit. I don't like the real cranberry sauce with the actual cranberries in it. That shit is trash. Get that off my plate. My top three are my mama, RIP, her cornbread dressing.
Ooh.
That's my top favorite fucking dish of all time. Thank God my aunt knows how to make it, and she's going to make us three big pans for tomorrow. Number two, mashed potatoes. Everyone says mashed potatoes are a year-round thing. Not for me, boys. I eat like a rabbit. I keep this boyish figure. And then number three has got to be macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I filled in on 790 this morning, and someone blasted me for having mac and cheese on my Thanksgiving spread.
Mac and cheese, I'm talking some homemade macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yeah, that's the good stuff.
Not the Kraft.
No.
You know, Velveeta, shells and cheese, all that shit. I don't even know what Velveeta is. Velveeta is not cheese.
No.
Anyway, homemade mac and cheese. Things that I don't like Thanksgiving, I don't think that exists. If you can't take everything on your Thanksgiving plate and shove it into one pile and just eat it, it's not Thanksgiving.
That's...
I think cranberry sauce is really the only thing you can't shove into the pile.
Yeah. You want to make a little smorgasbord of food, like
just...
Put it all together and let's eat.
I see these poor souls eating on these segmented paper plates. That's a poverty move.
You don't fine China. Fine China is the only move.
You can put it on a regular paper plate. Just you don't want the segments like elementary school. You want to be able to shove all that shit right together. Rolls are number four.
Ooh, a good butter roll is not bad. My top three, mac and cheese is number one. You can eat mac and cheese any day of the week. That's how you keep this, like you said, boyish figure. Number two, I love stuffing. Stuffing is undefeated. You got to enjoy that. Number three, at our family, my grandmother always brings out a post-dinner, post-lunch tequila. Really? And we do tequila shots.
Oh, I didn't know we were talking alcoholic beverages.
Well, I just,
as well.
I'm changing it all up. I just love the little mojo because it's always a family thing. So it's part of the Thanksgiving spread.
That's true.
That's and then good stuff. Number four, obviously, Kobos smoked turkey and fried turkey. Shout out to our boy Kobos, the best in the business.
No free ads.
Sorry, Kobo. We're going to send you the bill for that. So yeah, that's number four. Yep. Thing I hate the most, cranberry. I mean, it is, I can't do it.
You know, I looked up the history behind cranberry sauce and the Thanksgiving spread, and it's been around since the 1600s.
Did a serial killer, like, think of that first? Because that's...
Yeah, pretty much. Ulysses S. Grant even made it mandatory that the troops ate it.
You guys don't know. It's a great diuretic. It's delicious. It adds a texture to the plate. Well, mashed potatoes have a similar texture. Anyway, speaking of alcohol and grandmas.
Yeah.
My grandma drinks one beer a year.
One.
Thanksgiving, baby.
That's awesome. Is it a certain beer?
Well, last year we had brewed some pumpkin ale.
Ooh, nice.
I belonged to a little beer brewing club with my dad, and she didn't like it. She dropped candy in it because she thought it was too bitter. She dropped some candy in there. Still didn't like it, so we got her a fresh Coors.
She
likes a Coors Light.
Did you feel like a... 5-star chef presenting and someone asking for steak sauce? Was that kind of the...
Yeah, that was like, here's my fantastic beer, and then she dropped some licorice in it, and I was like, okay, that's fine. But, you know, my dad does the same thing. I cooked him a filet, and he asked me for ketchup, so...
What does this beer brewing club entail? Is that like, are you guys like the, what are they called? The secret club? Not the Smithsman, what are they called?
Breakfast Club?
No. Man, it's going to bother me. I'll Google it. No, not Smithsman. They're like...
Talking about on The Simpsons?
No. It's like...
That's the Stonecutters.
Yeah. What are they called? And don't worry about it. Just what is the beer brew club?
It's just my dad and a bunch of his neighbors. We get together and brew beer. We haven't done it this year, obviously, because COVID fucked everything up. But we're not too knowledgeable about it. We go buy the ingredients in a kit. We brew it, and then the next month we drink it while we brew the next batch. And it's kind of nice.
That's real nice.
Good beers.
Other than...
Shit, and you can make 5 gallons of beer for like 35 or 40 bucks.
It's so not bad.
That's actually a fantastic value.
It's a great deal.
Yeah.
You can go to collinsbeer.com and grab you a batch.
No, you
right
can't.
There.
Well, we might make an Apollo batch just
Ooh,
special
I
for
like
y'all.
That. Also with Thanksgiving, you can't have turkey and mashed potatoes and mac and cheese without football. And we got the Texans versus the Lions. I assume it's going to be the early game with the Ravens-Steelers game getting canceled if they don't alter the schedule. But the 11:30 start, really early. You're just getting to, like, we do Thanksgiving early, so we're rolling up to the grandparents.
Quick cue.
Yeah.
Why would you think the Texans got the early game and not the Cowboys? The Cowboys are trash.
Tradition, probably. Just prestigious team and Thanksgiving at mid-afternoon Cowboys game to see your hearts get ripped out year in, year out. Okay. That's probably
the best thing the Cowboys ever did on Thanksgiving was hire Creed.
That
for
was
their halftime performance.
Yeah, let's cue that in on post-production, the little Creed video of just tearing it up.
That's the best halftime performance of all time.
That really,
Super Bowls included.
That really did take the game and take it higher.
He'll be here all night.
Yeah.
He'll be here
just for that.
All night. Texans.
What if I was? What if? No, I'm kidding. Fuck, I wish I didn't remember 2 Creed songs, but here we are.
Hey, here we are. Texans Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Spread is -3 Houston, the favorite, on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty bold giving them three points.
DeAndre Swift is out for the Lions. Correct. Or he's still questionable.
But you have
a pretty heavy running game.
So old man Adrian Peterson at 90 years old, toting the rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, who's out?
Oh, shit, Swift is out, questionable. He's my one.
Stills
of my
is out. Players. Stills is out.
He's been
Cobb is Cobb is out.
No, Cobb's out. Stills is out.
So you got to think it's going to be the Will Fuller show. If he can, he should get behind that secondary.
And let's not forget about Brandon Cooks.
And Brandon Cooks,
he's got more touches over the last couple weeks.
Brandon Cooks has the highest air yards. Yeah. A lot of people are not realizing that. Deshaun's kind of found him his guy, and that's what Brandon Cooks does, the 10-target type kind of guy.
He runs it up long in the routes. Seams.
Yeah, so I think it's the Texans cover, mm-hmm. and I think they cover handily. I think they probably win by double digits. I just don't think the Lions – yeah, Matt Stafford loves to get down by 20 points and then bring you back at the last second, but I think the Texans cover.
The running game is kind of a joke on both teams, and so – I think as long as the Texans' pass rush can keep Stafford on his heels, Stafford gets hot, he gets hot.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, he can make it rain pretty quick.
Yeah.
That's the thing that worries me is because the secondary for the Texans is awful.
They're awful.
They're not very good.
And the pass rush isn't much better.
No.
But, you know, that's the key, I think, to winning is no one's run defense is going to win this game. So the pass rush has to win it because the secondary can't win it. And if Deshaun does what he did last week, goddamn, he looked fantastic. You want to talk about carrying a team. I think he had, as an individual, the most offensive yards out of anyone in the entire NFL last week, individually.
To me, Deshaun Watson is arguably top four quarterback.
I'd say, NFL. Yeah, I would agree, especially considering who he's behind.
Yeah, exactly. And if he can do what he does pretty much week in and week out, then the Texans always have a chance. Mm-hmm. But it's all about the defense for me. If Matt Stafford gets time in the pocket, extends plays, throws it downfield, then the Texans are going to be in for a long day.
Yeah.
Or it could go both ways. It could be an absolute shootout, or it can be one of those shit show games that we've seen the Texans, you know, have put some good drives together, and they get down in the red zone, and they just choke it away, kick a field goal.
Yeah, they do that a lot.
Yeah, so that's – I think they'll win. I don't think they'll win by double digits. I think it'll be, I don't know, 20-17 or something like that, 21-14.
Okay.
Something like that.
If the Texans score on the opening drive, they'll win. If they get six on the opening drive, they'll win.
Book it. I think the
biggest – have they done that in the past 13 weeks?
13 months? Probably not. I think the biggest question is that can the Texans build momentum off last week's win? Because the biggest thing that the community was talking about and everyone on ESPN was the Texans' lack of pass rush, mm-hmm. and then their lack of getting the ball in the end zone. They just settled for field goals.
Yeah.
And we saw last week a complete package of they got to Cam Newton,
yeah.
and they were some timely blitz that we haven't seen since mm-hmm. 2017,
right.
and they were bringing some pressure that Cam Newton was really confused about. Belichick was flustered, and you saw a squeaked out win.
Putting him on his ass.
Yeah, and then you saw what Deshaun Watson does when he has time and he has weapons and he can do what he does.
But that's the Texans for you. They're the kings of inconsistency.
Yeah,
they will play their ass off one week, and then they come the next week and play a team that's not as good and look like a JV team.
Yeah. They're
they could it very possibly tomorrow let Matt Stafford throw for 400 yards.
Yeah, they're so hot or cold.
Exactly. They're hot, they're cold. I mean, it's mm-hmm. they need consistency. That's another key is can they come in
camera
and
two.
can they play just like they did last week? Yeah, they squeaked it out last week, but it was like a gritty,
it was a
grinded
really
out win, and that's what you like to see. Now, can they build off of that and come in? And they're going to be on the national stage. Everyone's going to be watching tomorrow.
On the road.
Yeah,
short,
on the
short
road.
Rest.
Short rest.
Early start.
And I still think people sleep on Deshaun Watson. People don't give him the respect that he deserves. No. And he's going to be on full display tomorrow. So what Texans team will we see? Will we see what we saw last week where Deshaun Watson literally did everything? I mean, you saw he tucked the ball and ran from, what, 6-7 yards out and bowled over three or four dudes?
God, that was
for
awesome.
For a touchdown? You
that
see that awesome. Kind?
He trucked him.
Or are we going to see a Deshaun Watson where he holds onto the ball too long, offensive line collapses, he's sacked six times in a game, secondary allows 400 yards, 500 yards? that's the, you know, it's just, they're so inconsistent. That's what bothers me. And it has always bothered me about the Texans.
I feel like the Lions are pretty much the same team though. So we'll see we'll see who's hot and who's not.
Vegas tomorrow. Put a really interesting number out there, 51.5. And I think you'll know if the over-under is going to hit by the first 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
If the Texans, like you said, the Texans go down and score, I guarantee you Matt Stafford goes right down the right down the field and scores, and you're looking money for the over. But it very well could be three and out, three and out, three and out, and it's a punting game all the way to halftime.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, like, why the hell did I bet this game? Yeah. I'm going to have to tell mom and dad and grandma that I can't eat turkey because I got to pay my bookie because we're not going to hit that over.
Yeah, you don't want your bookie coming to knock out your kneecaps.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though.
Go ahead.
Neither one of these teams, from what I've seen this year, force a lot of turnovers either. And that it could very well come down to that too tomorrow. But we saw what happened last time. The Texans forced a lot of turnovers early. It was 24-0, and then they lost fantastically to the Chiefs. So,
and then we got the primetime game, the tradition game, the
Washington Football
franchise of champions versus the Washington Football Club, Cowboys
versus
the
Christ.
The former Redskins, now Washington Football Club. Cowboys are favored by 3 after a big-time win in Minnesota, which I still can't believe that actually happened. You can pinch me. But over-under set at 46. I think it's going to be a snooze fest. I think it's going to be ugly football. That's the NFC East. It's been so bad all year.
Terrible.
It's worse than JV. It's literally 7th grade B team football.
Yeah,
but that's what we have.
Seventh grade B team quarterback right here.
Oh, yeah,
Jake's middle school.
Big arm.
That's what we're going to have primetime at 3:30.
So these are a couple of 3-win teams.
Yes.
Okay.
Vying for first place.
Vying for first place.
That's so bad.
The Cowboys are 1-2 in the division.
Who's starting?
I know what the Redskins are.
Who's starting at quarterback? Who's starting at quarterback for the Cowboys tomorrow?
Dalton. The Red Rocket.
Make it rain.
Put some respect on the Red Rocket from Katy, Texas.
Did you know that? Oh, no. So we were talking about Matt Stafford earlier. Him and Clayton Kershaw played on the same high school team.
They were buddies.
Pitcher-catcher.
Did you know Juan Soto was 21 years old?
I did not. I heard Joe Buck may have said that a few times, though.
Yeah. And did you know Carlos Correa said, if you don't know the facts, you can shut the fuck up? That was pretty cool.
You can buy the shirt right below the link. So at the game, I think it's going to be a snooze fest. I think it's that type of game where you're probably on your second plate of food and you're just like, I want to sleep. And you can go to sleep with, I think Collinsworth is doing the game. I think they took over that game.
Oh, dude, did they?
I got to say.
They were supposed to do Raven Steelers.
I like Chris Collinsworth.
Do you really? That's a take.
Here's a guy who knows football.
You want to slide into the camera?
Yeah.
Can you get that?
Yeah. Camera 2, pan in on me doing the Chris Collinsworth. Here's a guy. No, I'm kidding. No, but I really do. Dude, I don't understand. Hey, I like Chris Collinsworth. I like Joe Buck. Why aren't these people? Troy Aikman. But I'll tell you, though.
I'm a fan of Joe Buck.
Who really came in and took the broadcasting world by storm in football in the last couple of years?
Antonio Romero Romo.
That's correct.
Tony
Romo? Is that his fucking name? Is that his real name?
Antonio Romero Romo.
He's not his fucking name.
Look it up right now.
Did you just give him a Hispanic twist?
No, Romo is...
That is
Tony
not
Romo.
His
Romo's
name.
Dad's from Mexico, y'all. This is maybe a big spoiler alert. I'm cultured. Hey, everyone listening, I know my culture.
Is this why you're a Cowboys fan?
I think I'm a Romo fan, honestly. I don't think I'm a Cowboy fan. I think I just...
I like Tony Romo.
But you can look it up. His Antonio Romero Romo. He grew up in Wisconsin. Dad's from...
Let me tell you a little known fact about Tony Romo that... It garnered a lot of respect from me when he was dating Jessica Simpson and he didn't want to be dating her anymore. You know how he broke up with her?
How?
He told the guy at the security gate at the front of his house, just don't let her in.
And Jessica Simpson in her prime.
Oh, yeah. She was great in her prime.
Oh, dude, are you kidding
Besides
me?
Being a total dipshit.
John Mayer said she was like sexual napalm. I don't know what that means, but goddamn, that's got to
sounds like a song.
Tony Romo's real name is Antonio Romero Romo.
There
you gotta be shitting me.
There you go.
There it is.
Hey.
Did you learn something new today, Brian?
Yeah, I didn't know as fuck did. What the fuck is going on?
For the culture.
Yeah.
Tony. Hey, you know what? When I have a little kid someday, I'm going to be like, look at that Mexican that was in the NFL being a quarterback slinging around and not winning any big games. But hey, we were out there, baby, for the brand and for the culture.
You know, I like to dog on Romo like everyone else from Houston does, but I really haven't been enjoying him on the broadcast.
He is very good at what he does in the booth.
He's great on the
broadcast.
He is
very, very good at what he does.
Yeah.
And I like he kind of dissects it. I think the first time he was like, this was, everyone fell in love with, oh my God, he would say like, they're going to do this.
Yeah,
and this
predicting
happened.
The play calls.
And everyone
yeah.
loved it. And I thought he was going to like run away with that. I was like, that's going to get really repetitive and kind yeah. of overpower Jim Nantz. And he's kind of.
That's not hard to do.
He's kind of toned back.
Jim
and he Nantz does
is old.
Here and there. And he just lets the game and gives you more knowledge. And I feel like when you watch his broadcast, you're more knowledgeable of the sport, which I like.
Yeah, he does. Him and Jim Nantz fit very well together.
You know, I like when these guys talk about that kind of stuff behind the scenes, what the players and coaches might be talking about in the huddle, all that kind of stuff. That really brings people into the game more than Chris Collinsworth saying, and here's a guy who can kick a punt 60 yards and he gets it right on the one every time. You know, I like hearing that.
Yeah.
And I'm also I'll jump ahead or do a little tangent or whatever, but I like when they mic the players up during the All-Star game of baseball 100%. And stuff. That's fun to me. I know the purist traditionalist folks don't like it, but you know, you don't hear a lot from these guys day to day other than if they hit the game winning fucking play, they interview them after the game, but they're not as candid as they are with these guys in the booth asking them questions during a game.
Yeah.
That stuff is fun to
100%.
Me.
And that's what I talked to Brian before we brought him on board. And when you worked at 790, Brian, you talked about this and just having a background in baseball like myself and playing college ball, you're knowledgeable of the sport, and yeah. you got to go into the dugout with yeah. the guys and talk to them, and it was actual questions about baseball. It wasn't some fluffer question that someone in the Chronicle or whoever it may be.
Mark Berman.
With the
Berman filming
yeah, TVs with
TVs
his,
with his phone.
Daryl Morey gone to his car.
Yeah.
There's a license plate
fucking thing.
Yeah.
But you got to ask real questions. And I think yeah. that's what resonates with the players on any sport. If you ask a real sports-based question yeah. that they would be able to like, oh, okay, this is not some political answer I'm going to give. It's actually, oh, X's and O's. Let's right. get into it a little bit. And I think the players really resonate about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, these – I'm not trying to dog on TV guys and, you know, sports reporters for the TV media, but they ask the – generic, mm-hmm. I mean, just how does it feel? You know, hang on, that was bad. Let me try this again. You know, how does it feel that your daughter is going to be up in the stands watching you today? She flew in from Wisconsin. You know, it's your first game. Tell me about that. And they shove a mic yeah. in his face. I'm like sitting back like, dude, why did we just switch Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve in a double cut four? Like, maybe you guys should figure that out.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I know why, because Carlos Correa has a hose. Jose Altuve really doesn't. So that was a question that was in the post. Yeah, so that was a question that I like to ask, or that was what I was asking AJ Hinch. And you can tell that when managers or players get actually asked a specific baseball question, they give you more.
Yeah.
And don't get wide-eyed. Like, I'm not saying I'm some big-time ESPN reporter or something like that, but they open up a little bit more. Like the first relationship that I really made in the clubhouse, my first year at 790, was with Tony Kemp, because I would ask him, I would sit
friend of the show.
I would sit and ask him questions next to the rollaway, right? He's in between his hacks. I would just kind of ask him, hey, what are you working on? You know, or what are you doing here? What are you doing there? And he was on a pretty good run at the time. And then he kind of struggled. So then I went back to him and asked him, hey, you're struggling a little bit. Like, what's going on in the mindset? I would take those answers, you know, put that in my own baseball mind, and then I'd go into the locker room post-game, pre-game, whatever it is, and ask other guys what they were doing.
100%.
So it was a great experience. One of the coolest guys that I got to interview and talk to the most was Brian McCann mm-hmm. Back in 2018.
World champion Brian McCann.
Yeah, it was in 2018. And obviously, catchers are the smartest, you know, some of the smartest yeah. baseball IQ guys yeah. you can come around. That's why a lot of them are managers. AJ Hinch, Brad Ausmus, mm-hmm. Bruce Bochy, just to name a few. So hearing him, you know, kind of talk about baseball was awesome. And I just, you know, some of the TV guys, you know, when I ask a question, they would just kind of look at me like, what are you doing? Why are you asking yeah. that? Well, I don't care about their family. I don't want to know how they feel that they got off the bus 5 minutes early this time. And
yeah.
you know, hey, yeah. did you wear your certain jacket? you know, because it was cold out. Stupid shit like that.
Breaking news. This person's family is thrilled that he's in the big leagues.
Yeah. And
fucking duh.
Yeah. Yeah. Berman's hauling ass to the airport to try to get guys off, you know, coming off of their flight with their manager to stick his iPhone in their face. Yeah. You know, it just, Jesus, so that's, Christ. I would see that from a distance, and I'm like, I will never let myself do that. And playing baseball for as long as I did, that helped my baseball IQ. Coaching baseball, Coach Bandidos for 8 years, and when I was there, we were the top, you know, premier program in the nation at the time. So I was around a lot of talented baseball minds. Roger Clemens was there, Charlie Hayes was there. I mean, I can go on and on, but I took that and I put it into the radio stuff, into the sports media stuff, and I don't know. It was just, you could tell they knew, you know, a real baseball question, you know.
It's coming across, yeah.
Yeah, coming across, yeah. For sure.
You got to love that, too. I mean, no one wants an amateur asking questions.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that we've done with Apollo, really, is we're great with the community, but the product that we put out is not a topical conversation. It's not a topical blog. It's something that's in-depth, and you've seen it with our guys that have blogged numerous amounts of stuff. I really just shit post and do stuff on camera, but
same.
the team around it, we've really put some stuff together, and we can get into the nitty gritty and give you what the players are really expecting and what they're going through and what they're seeing. And it's not what in any sport, it's easy for fans to get on Twitter and write 240 characters and shit post and talk shit and not understand the game, where you may be coming to the plate and you're seeing the baseball like a beach ball. And it's a hard phenomenon to explain unless you've been in that moment.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that guy can throw whatever he wants and I'm just squaring it up. Yeah. It's just the way it looks. And then there are other times where the baseball looks like a marble and you're lost at the plate and you're drowning and you're getting information. And this is just on a smaller level compared to these guys and the pros. And
right.
And you can relate to them at a level where Apollo is just, hey, I've been there. I understand that. Yeah. Like, let's work through this. Let's look what's going on.
There's a time and a place for, you said shit posts. There's a time and a place for writing something just to get clicks, just to get views. 100%. I get it. It's something that you need, right? Because mm-hmm. you want to bring attention to your page.
Sure. It helps you grow.
Right. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, you want to put a product out there and some content out there where you have team members that can relate to guys, just not on that level. Like, I felt so bad for Yuli Gurriel in the ALCS. Dude literally could not hit water if he fell out of a boat.
Yeah.
And obviously I didn't play at that high of a level, but I remember struggling my junior year in college. I literally couldn't hit water if I fell out of a boat. I'd have games where I would hammer balls.
Right to someone.
Right, and then there were other games where, you know, we're in the middle of conference play and I'm going 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts, 2 groundouts, right? Throwing my helmet.
And the score's 4-3 and you feel right, like
and
it's...
And you fucked it up.
It's me.
And I was a 2-year team captain in college and I know guys were looking at me, you know, coming up in big spots, and then I lost my starting job to a kid that never sniffed the field, but that's how bad I was playing.
Yeah.
But I remember what that's like. Now, again, it's on a more grand scale. The talent
bright
is,
lights,
every, yeah, bright
the
lights.
Whole
the
country is looking at
yeah,
you.
Yeah, absolutely. The talent is
same situation.
Yeah, though. Same situation though. Like one situation that I remember, Yuli was in. It was game 4 or game 5 against the Rays. He came up in a huge spot. First two guys got walked. It's first and second. Then I think there was a strikeout. He comes up first and second, one out, and the dude was just at the pitcher. One of the guys for the Rays was struggling. I mean, like. 8 out of the last 10 pitches were balls, or 8 out of the last 11, because I think the guy before that was a 3-pitch strikeout, just a really bad at bat too. But he comes up, first pitch fastball right down the middle, little tapper to the pitcher, 1-6-3 double play, boom, out of the inning.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's just shit like that. But I remember that struggle. I remember how bad and how frustrated you feel
you
as
pressing.
A player. Yeah, when you start pressing. And it's all downhill from there. So, yeah, that's you know, you have to have a team of guys that relate, right?
Yeah. Well, and if they understand, like you said, you ask them real questions. They've been there. Shit, if you've been there, they've been there, right? I mean, they play more ball probably than we all have collectively. And they want to answer a real fucking question. They don't want to be asked about their fucking kid in the stands. Dude, you're right about that.
Yeah.
For sure. But at the same time, it's nice to have these people on camera. Man, I mean... When here we can do some ASMR. Okay.
we're evolving.
And they had Toro's mom up there. Ooh, I saw her in the team store. Toro was playing real well.
Was that the line?
Huh?
Was that the line?
No, he was playing well. And I saw her in the team store with a couple of other guys that looked like about to be Toro's age. So maybe brothers or friends of his or something. And so I knew who she was. And I told her, you know, I'm glad your son's on the team. He's doing well, blah, blah, blah. So that was a cool moment for me. But I wouldn't have never recognized her if they wouldn't have kept showing her on TV.
Yeah.
With these cop-out interviews.
That's exactly how you know them, right? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And anyway. I think one of the biggest things...
Sorry, Toro.
...was when...
Mom's hot.
Oh, man. We're not even going to make it to 2021.
Toro's mom's a dime. That means
when Altuve was going through his little yips, and I think everyone on Twitter was obviously frustrated with losing a game that was based on a clear error, right? We all saw what was going on.
Yeah,
but
two days in a row.
If you've ever been in that situation and ever got the yips, it is the worst feeling in the world, because I had it my sophomore year and I had a DH. They literally moved me from third base to first base because I couldn't make the throw. Then from first base to DH just so I could hit and just get out of my own mind, because you could not step and make a throw. And everyone on Twitter, everyone's can pick up a baseball right now and throw it 60 feet and make the throw. But when you're going through that, you literally cannot feel your arm. That's the only way I can explain it, because nothing's there and you're just, and we saw it with Altuve, and if you've been through it, you know it. So I felt obviously super bad for him going through that, and obviously bad for the city, because that's a big reason why we didn't go to the World Series. But it's little things like that where you can dive and jump into as a commenter or blogger or video personality, and you can maybe put some in-depth behind it. I'm sure it's not going to sway anyone's mind, because they're like, he's Jose Altuve. He needs to make that throw.
Yeah. I think with...
And get more hits.
Yeah, I think with Jose, more of the mental side of it was huge, because you think about all of the shit that was talked about the Astros this year.
Yeah.
And who took the brunt of that?
He did.
And you would think Jose Altuve, right? Because he's basically the face of the franchise.
Yeah, but he didn't use the trash can.
Right. He didn't... Yep. And reports say he didn't use it. So for him to take that on, and them to you know, cut him down and go at his integrity of the game, you take that hard, and that stays with you pretty much all season.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of all comes out at the wrong time, because, I mean, you really look back at that series and you could easily say that Jose Altuve was the reason why they couldn't get to the World Series, because those first two games, I mean, what do you have, like five errors, right?
I mean, you underperformed defensively. Everyone was underperforming offensively. You're missing one of your biggest weapons at the plate, Jordan Alvarez.
And
you
want to
talk about beach balls and marbles. Guess who always sees the beach ball? Jordan.
I think it's more like a meteor coming in every time.
Just... So, Verlander, of course. You know, you're missing some bullpen arms.
Hold on, closer. Real quick, hot take. Verlander should have won the Cy Young. He was 1-0. He had 8 strikeouts. So that's like an 800%. A whip of 0. I mean, those stats blow Shane Bieber out of the water. What are we doing in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
Winning percentage of 1,000?
Goodell, can I talk to you outside for a second? No. But, so when they announced the Gold Gloves, how taken aback were you that Correa didn't win? I know they use sabermetrics for this bullshit now, but I didn't watch a lot of other baseball other than the Astros, but Carlos Correa made so many plays this season that I just said, holy shit, how did he even grab that? Much less, how did he make the throw to first?
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, how many double plays that they turn.
He had less errors than the guy that won.
Going to the free agents of 2021, let's just run through them real quick of where you think they're going to go. Rapid fire. JT Realmuto.
Phillies. No, I'm kidding. I know he's on the fucking Phillies.
I wouldn't be surprised if he went back to the Phillies.
I wouldn't either. You know, it's so strange. There's so much money that was lost this season. We really don't know how free agency is going to be.
What does the market look like for a catcher right now? Are there any other – scroll down your list. Are there any other catchers available?
Okay, how about this?
Not like JT.
Is
Robert Robinson Chirinos is available?
Is Real Muto getting Grandal got 4 for 73? Is Real Muto getting Grandal money?
He got how much?
More.
Grandal got 4 for 73.
Yeah, so JT Real Muto can more. Rake. He's going to get more.
He'll get four
in a COVID for... in a COVID year.
Well, I don't know. Dude, about well, COVID
that's what I'm year, saying. That's what I think the biggest factor is.
He's got 4 for 73.
Yes,
this year.
Last year, last
okay,
offseason,
so,
before COVID.
Before COVID. Ugh.
PC. Before wait.
Pre-COVID?
BC.
What? Yeah. Before COVID?
BC.
Or pre-COVID? PC?
Before COVID.
Yeah,
BC works. BC works.
Either one.
Calling
strong. Hey, Josh, you're off camera. Can you please shut the fuck up? Thank you.
Okay, so Real Muto, we don't know the highest bidder, mercenary situation? Hmm.
I hate how we have to talk about this COVID bullshit.
Yeah.
It's going to fuck up. I mean, it's already fucked up everything, but it's going to fuck up the off season.
It's awful. And you don't know. I'm expecting.
We can cuss on this, right?
Yes.
Okay. Fuck.
No, Josh is going to be bleeping these. We're going to have to just see what happens. I mean, they're not having winter meetings this year.
Yep. That's out.
Today they said they may push back spring training.
Till May.
Yeah.
Right. And so Tony asked, we were asking our users of questions, and Tony said, what do you see the Astros headline being 6 months from now? Well, 6 months from now is fucking May, and so that might be spring training. So the headlines might be, all these idiots are moving the Astros on the road to fucking spring training, if they have spring training. But to answer your question, I'm completely fucking lost. I have no clue where we were.
JT Realmuto. And how the market's going to be. During COVID.
Yeah, so that's what I was going
to
say.
Do we need to bring your helmet next time?
I almost brought it. I didn't bring it. I think that there might be a lot of short-term deals coming out of it. You know, to be honest, 2021 right now, the whole season is an uncertainty. I mean, they don't know if they're going to have a repeat of this year where they're going to have limited play, blah, 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 right? So you got all these big names looking for long contracts. The only one of them that doesn't like a long contract is Trevor Bauer.
And
Trevor Bauer wants a short contract. Springer obviously wants big money, and he'll get big money from somebody.
The Mets are going to throw him a ton of money.
That's what I was thinking too.
They've got new management, new owner. They're about to make it rain on him.
Their owner, we talked about this last week. Yeah. The guy spends like $114 million on a statue. Yeah, so
a rabbit.
And he wants to win, you know, and he doesn't, it's not like winning is going to make this guy any richer than he already is. So I think Springer will get a big bag from that guy coming shortly.
I think you could see a lot of players signing short term deals just to get through the COVID world.
Mm-hmm.
And then
me too,
you know, obviously if those guys stay healthy and have good performing years, then they're going to sign their big deals.
They can double dip.
Yeah, they can double dip and get massive contracts.
I think you go a two-year deal, you get your 2021 season, and 2022 looks like it's probably going to be a player strike. So,
yeah, because then you got to worry about the CBA. That's right around the corner too.
So you would probably don't want to tie up one of those years, and owners are probably thinking the same. So I think Bauer is on actually the right mindset of going a short deal on the front side of the CBA. And the backside, that's when you cash in.
Yeah.
LeBron has done it. We see LeBron do 1-2 year deals, and then that next contract's fatter than the 1 or 2 year deal. So I think Bauer, he's the number two on this free agent list. There's a lot of smoke with the New York. I think he may end up in San Diego with
Bauer.
Yeah, I think he may end up with Slam Diego down there.
Hmm.
That's interesting. People can talk a lot of shit about Trevor Bauer because how much he hates the Astros and all the shit he talks on Twitter, but the dude's actually pretty damn smart.
He's a smart pitcher. And he's a good pitcher.
He's a good pitcher.
You'll probably see him sign a short-term deal because he knows the CBA is coming.
Yeah.
He knows it. And a lot of other guys may not, I mean, they know it, but they may not realize it. They just, they could see, hey, let me just get the biggest contract I can get, the longest. You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I just...
I think if Trevor Bauer does it, he's going to do it right. And if I was doing it, I would want a short-term deal to just because that CBA is going to come around and it's going to be a pain in the ass to get through.
Yeah.
Because Rob Manfred is just a...
I think he's gone.
He's a jackass.
I think he sucks.
Yeah.
You know, I think Trevor Bauer might be... He's one of these guys. You can tell by looking at him. I mean, the guy gets a $4 haircut. He doesn't really care about the money. I think he really wants a championship.
Yeah.
And he's signing short deals. He got his fucking Cy Young, and he earned it because he started using foreign substances. It was very obvious.
His spin rate
went up 300-400 RPM. Tony can attest to that. Tony gets a lot of traction from Trevor Bauer on Twitter too.
They're best friends.
Tony and we'll link Tony's at below
at Tony Adams
at Adams underscore AT, I believe is his at.
Yeah,
I'm looking at good you, job, Josh. Producer. Camera two,
producer.
Anyway, Tony knows all the facts, and every time Tony tweets at Trevor Bauer, Trevor Bauer responds.
All right, anyway. George Springer, Mets. We're thinking Mets.
It's going to be somewhere in the Northeast.
Yeah,
I think Mets.
Who can give him the most money? Probably the Mets.
The Toronto news was like, he's not going. I don't think he's going.
Nah.
He's not. Toronto's jumping.
You're not even going to be able to play in Toronto.
He wants to go to a contender. I think the wild card team for Springer may be the Cardinals.
It's on Northeast.
I know, but they need an outfielder. So these guys are on the road all fucking year. They really don't. This talk about being home with their families. Like, give me a break, dude. These guys can afford a private jet whenever they want to.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
DJ LeMahieu.
Back to the Yankees.
Yeah, I think he goes back to New York. He has to. I mean, he's their best hitter.
Unless the Astros come out of nowhere.
There was a lot of smoke there.
I
think it was just little Kenneth. But hey, DJ can play first.
You could
DJ can play first.
You could literally.
I know we locked up Yuli, but DJ can play first.
Yuli's locked up. Yuli's not DH material.
Yeah.
Yuli can't play any other position.
Yeah.
DJ LeMahieu could probably play anywhere in the infield.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could probably put him at shortstop if you needed.
He's a ball player.
Yeah.
And he hits.
He
rakes.
A lot of smoke. A lot of Astros Twitter wants this guy, Marcell Ozuna. Mm-hmm. And that.
Not a fan.
And that. Beautiful fluorescent arm sleeve. A lot of power. I just don't think we have enough. I don't think we're going to throw money to get him. I think he's going to have a big market.
He will have a big market. And that's a problem for me is if Springer goes, which he likely will, Brantley, we've heard from our sources, take what you will, that he doesn't want to play here anymore. He's sick of the fucking circus. And this was without fans. So
Michael Brantley doesn't want to play here anymore.
That's what my sources say.
Word on the street.
Source.
Word on the street.
So if they're both gone, God, that's going to leave a gaping hole in the outfield, right? So you've got Tucker, obviously. We've got him. Straw.
You're not trotting Yordan out there.
You're not.
I see fans talk about that. And
how are you going to? First of all, the dude's coming back from knee surgery.
And he's 40.
And you can't put him in the outfield.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I see fans talking about that. You can't. He's your David Ortiz. He's your pro.
He's your
DH
David Ortiz. That's
for as long as he plays.
He's hitting DH. That's it. He may take left field on a day when someone needs a rest. Yeah. So you got Straw, and then
no one.
Well, everyone seems to be forgetting what the fuck's happening with Josh Reddick.
So,
gone or what?
I mean, all of Astros Twitter hates him.
I don't hate him.
But if there was any free agent coming back on a short deal, it would be a Josh Reddick deal.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could be a one-two-year deal, and he'd be out there platooning. There's the JBJ rumors that we may go get him.
Yeah.
I don't hate that.
I don't either, and he comes alive in the post.
Yeah,
boy, does he. He's old, though.
But running through the – we'll go rapid fire. Didi. He's with Philly now. I can see him going back.
Yeah. We don't need a shortstop.
Stroman's already went back to the Mets. Justin Turner. I think the Dodgers move on. I don't know where he probably stays out west.
Yeah, can you believe he gave the whole team COVID?
The entire organization.
The Dodgers are probably going to make a crazy move and go trade for Nolan Arenado.
They've been saying that for
years.
You know,
they should. Nolan deserves a Nolan deserves a good team.
Yeah, he deserves to be.
God, he's one of the best players in baseball.
I think he's a unicorn because he hits outside of Coors. Everyone can go to Coors and hit, right?
Hit right.
But he goes on the road and he just fucking mashes.
Yeah, he's a good baseball player. Fantastic. He's very likable.
Yeah. Liam Hendricks. This is one of the guys I want. Ooh. I want the Astros to go get him. He has some choice words. I think more of it was, hey, let's play. Let's beat these guys. And then afterwards, he kind of owned it. Hey, the Astros beat us.
And then didn't he say, wasn't he the one last week that said that he was still thinking about it?
No, that was, it was not Liam Hendricks. It was
Bassett.
Okay. But
Josh,
he's
you're off camera. Can you please stop chiming in?
I think he's
a
guy.
We will figure this out up here at the table.
I think he's a guy the Astros want to go get. And then there's a new guy. If you followed along with Apollo, you know that we're a big Kiwoom Heroes stan account. Ha-Seong Kim, young shortstop, he is leaving Korea and coming to the United States. He slashed. Look at this. 308, 399, 526 with 30 homers and 24 doubles in 137 games.
That was in the KBO?
KBO.
Did he play for the Dinos?
He played for the Kiwoom Heroes.
The Heroes.
The friends of Apollo Media.
Yes.
We had an ambassador over there as well, getting a lot of stuff. But they're friends of the program, the Kiwoom Heroes.
We don't need a shortstop. We got the best shortstop in the MLB
and we
gotta
pay
for
him.
At least one more year.
You want to touch on it? We can touch on it before we go to the Rockets. The Correa rumors.
It's all bullshit.
I think he's gone,
all
guys.
Bullshit.
I don't think he's gone, but I think he's in test free agency. I think Carlos Correa and his camp want to test the free agency market and see what numbers they want to get wined and dined and see what numbers they get. I think the Astros still have the best chance to get him, but I think he wants to see what the open market says.
Do you mean after 2021?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I think they're currently working on two things. I think they are going to try to bring back Michael Brantley. I know you guys stated that you heard otherwise. I think they'll try to bring back Michael Brantley, and then I think they're going to put together a massive package to sign Correa for the long haul.
I think they should.
Because if you're going to lose Springer, mm-hmm. which is most likely going to happen,
yeah.
who is going to be your next face of your franchise?
You know, they got an absolute steal.
It's got to be Carlos Correa.
It's got to be. Dude, after all this shit that he has come alive talking all this shit to the media and everyone else, and then this postseason that he put together, Jesus. I mean, you want to talk about lights out the whole way through, right? So the Astros have signed Bregman and Altuve to long-term deals that I think were fantastic deals for the team. I don't know how Altuve and Bregman signed these deals, to be honest. When I saw them come through, I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
Very team-friendly.
Right? So they've got both of them for five more years together. Bregman and Altuve?
I believe so.
Four or five more years.
I think Altuve's got three left on his deal, and I think Bregman has four. I think they're a year apart as far as their deal.
Well, I thought it was longer than that because I thought Bregman's was 5 years.
Can we get a check on that?
Jesse, pull that up. So we've got them two, right? So the infielders, I mean, that's a lot. Correa is one of the best defensive shortstops in the league, but there are other gloves like that in the game too. So it's going to come down to dollars, right? So next year you got to consider Verlander is out. We're paying him $30 million to sit. Greinke is old. His contract is also $30 million. So if he gets hurt,
but they're both gone when Correa hits free agency. So that money is essentially freed up. $60 million.
You're right.
So the number is this. You pay Carlos Correa $250 to $300 million. For let's say 5-6 years, whatever we'll just
you pay him over whatever the market rate is for a shortstop. This guy has been showing up for the Astros.
So do you pay Carlos Correa a total contract more than you paid Bregman and Altuve combined?
Yeah, you do. If he's producing like that, well, he's not going to produce like Altuve at the plate.
Coming into his prime. He's young.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, you're right. He's 26 years old.
One thing you're going to have to remember is you've got other shortstops that are going to become free agents right around the same time as Carlos Correa. Listen to these names. Who do you think the highest paid shortstop in the MLB is right now?
And going into this season?
Going into 2021.
Man, I don't know.
Give me what...
He's in the AL East.
AL East.
You're not going to guess it.
No. It's Xander Bogaerts.
It is Xander Bogaerts, and he makes $20 million. I guess it, yeah. Okay, Xander Bogaerts is making $20 million a year. Okay? Yeah. Do we have a note from our producer? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Both Bregman and Altuve are signed through 2024.
So, three years.
More years to get.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
They're both in that year going to be making around 25, 26 that year.
Okay.
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 So then you got to remember Francisco Lindor is going to be a free agent. Mm-hmm. He's only making 19.5 right now.
Future Yankee probably.
Trevor Story.
Trevor Story is the man. I would love to Trey have Trevor
Turner,
Story.
Corey Seager, Javi Baez.
They're Tim all Anderson. Becoming free agents that year?
Not, but I don't have the details, but you have. I'm looking at age here.
Yeah, they're going to
They range for between 26 and 28. And don't forget about Tim Anderson with the White Sox, who raked this past year.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Dansby Swanson is one of the best up-and-coming shortstops.
So Correa may be the Mahomes. He goes and sets the market for the shortstops.
Yeah, and then after that. So that's going to help. That's going to help the Astros with a shot to try to re-sign him for cheaper than market value. Unless Francisco Lindor is going to get the biggest contract. Someone's going to send him a blank check, 10 years, probably $320 million.
But why? I mean, is he better than Correa defensively and I could see him, or offensively?
I could see him getting traded. Huh? That too. That's a big thing that comes in. That's a very good point for our second Correa producer, David. Go ahead, producer one.
If this is right, I don't know if I'm looking at the right side, but it seems like 2022, so after this next year, mm-hmm. Lindor, Story, Crawford, Seager, Baez, and Correa...
All free agents. Yeah, that's what I thought.
So the year of the shortstop.
So the market is going to be...
It's hot.
It's going to be hot, right? So who is going to sign...
Or these guys will just re-sign who they've
who
got.
Who is going to sign the marquee deal
it's
gonna first?
It's going to be the scene of The Office where they're pointing the guns at each other.
I've never
like
seen
every,
it. I've never seen The Office.
Oh, my goodness. That's Let's,
okay.
Geez, Lord. Yeah, cue the gift. cue the gift. Drop the gift.
We're going to go ahead and let Brian leave. We're going to cut so Brian can leave, and then we'll continue to... No. So here's the thing.
So that's why I said earlier, that's why I think that they're probably already working on a deal for Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa has to realize, like, that year that he becomes a free agent, there's going to be five or six dudes at the level.
Supply and demand is a lot different.
Right, it's going to be a lot.
Yeah, it's not him looking at it. It's his agent.
And let's not forget about the CBA. He's going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Dude, so, it's going to be a wild summer.
Yeah, we know
wild
that's
summer
happening.
And a wild offseason.
And you got to know the player, like, if Dez has heard it from his sources.
I've heard from sources.
There's going to be a strike. The players know it. They're organizing the damn strike. So next season is going to go down if it
at
goes
least
down.
An extended delay.
Yeah. And
if Jimmy Hoffa doesn't get the Teamsters together.
Baseball is losing all kinds of money. You just don't know what kind of contracts they're going to throw out because they know about the uncertainty right now. Everyone knows about the uncertainty right
now. Yeah. And okay. So if I know about the uncertainty, as a player, why not lock up a deal?
Well,
right?
Exactly.
Right? Hey, let me lock in now before this uncertainty. So there's that edge of the sword.
But the agents are going, hey, dude, give him a 6-year deal for $25 million a year. And they're going, no, are you kidding me, dude? There's going to be a fucking strike next year. And 2021 may be another 60-game season. So why would I give him a deal like that?
Or you have a Lindor or Seager that signs a massive deal and they now just set the market price. And now Correa is like, oh, I'm not going to sign a deal now because if Lindor and Seager's getting that kind of money, I can at least get that. And
that's
now
when it's going to come down to who's going to sign.
Who's going to make the move first?
Who's going to make the big marquee deal first?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come down to. So if I'm the Houston Astros, then I'm going to try to throw money at Carlos Correa as soon as I can.
They have to.
You can't lose that guy.
No.
Segwaying.
Sorry, real quick. Let's do a hypothetical approach here. Let's say that the Astros do lose Carlos Correa. Then what do you do? You move Bregman over to short?
Yeah. You have an alternative there.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably built in their decisions. I don't think as a upper front office management, you're like, you can't replace a Carlos Correa, but you can slide an Alex Bregman over shortstop. Yeah.
That's his natural position anyways.
Yeah. So that's not more of a safe valve probably.
Yeah.
Than a let's do this, like not use it as leverage because a Carlos Correa is irreplaceable.
Right.
When he's on the field. Segueing into free agent signings, Rockets, Mm-hmm. We touched on it last week with all the drama, but they made some moves this week.
We touched on it last week.
Yeah.
We were fucking in a sinking boat last week when we recorded this podcast.
There was a time last week where I really thought that we were about to slide into a very dark time in Houston sports.
I still think there was a real possibility
that James Harden was going to leave, Russell Westbrook was going to leave, and they were going to lose Brantley,
yeah.
they were going to lose Springer,
yeah.
and then the Texans are shit anyway.
JJ was talking about walking.
Yeah.
So all of this shit, well, not all of it, most of it has changed since last week, especially with the Rockets, right? So we still don't know what's going to happen with Westbrook. We're assuming at this point that Harden is staying because
I think they're showing up to training camp.
They're both, both going to show up to camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
so there's,
I think likelihood of being traded, Russell Westbrook will be traded before James Harden. I don't think James Harden is going to be traded either way.
No, he won't.
I mean, he's already been working out with, what was his name, Mason Jones?
Yeah.
He's already been working out with him. He was working out with Christian Wood.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Wood's here.
So yeah, they're all here. And then Boogie Cousins is already working out here. They just signed him. Yeah. So
they said there was a video a couple of days ago of Harden shooting hoops in New York, and they're like, they think, oh, he's up here. He's fucking going to Brooklyn, right? Nah, dude. Man. So they got DeMarcus Cousins.
Huh? He was shooting a body armor commercial.
Fuck, I don't know what he was doing. I mean, these people see some idiots over here with his cell phone like this, like, oh, Harden signed in New York because he's in New York. Dude, these, like I said earlier, these guys have $1 billion, dude. They can fucking fly around and do whatever the hell they want. They can go have a basketball practice in New York if they want to. So they got Cousins. Fucking the news of Wood comes down, right? This dude's fucking 6'10".
The savior of Rockets Twitter.
Fucking power forward or center.
And that which can is also what, shoot the three.
This is what they've been missing.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
They need the tall guy.
Yeah.
they need someone.
He's a guy that can run the pick and roll with James Harden.
Yeah.
If Russell Westbrook is still here, he can also... The thing that I like about keeping Russell Westbrook is if you keep Russell Westbrook and let's say James Harden has an off night. You run the pick and roll with Christian Wood... You either, obviously, a pick and roll, you either dump it off to the center or you drive to the lane. Russell Westbrook can find his mid-range jumper so often with the pick and roll.
But last year, he sure fucking didn't.
I think he was skittish. I think he was skittish from MDA being like, hey, you're gonna wear the scarlet letter of a mid-jumper.
And that's another thing that you have to remember is Westbrook's only been in Houston for a year. The chemistry's not going to be there. And in a system where... He really doesn't fit.
Yeah.
Well, Steven Silas, I think this, and that's why I don't understand why either of those guys want to be traded. You're bringing in a new guy who's been around the league for 20 years in Steven Silas.
And he's an offensive wizard.
He's an offensive guy. And you have all kinds of new, you have John Lucas returning, and then you have another few faces in. At the time, the roster was really not, hadn't been tweaked yet. But now you look at the roster, you've got two traditional big men in Boogie Cousins and Christian Wood.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Daniel House returning. You can keep put Eric Gordon as a sixth man and keep him there all year. Do not have him in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
That's where I think he has the most offensive production.
There's a ton of money for a sixth man.
Off the bench.
So, yeah.
Holy shit, off the bench, he's electric. And you know who else, while we're talking about it? Gerald Green.
Yeah.
Dude, I love Green off the bench.
You've got two veteran minimum spots open. Gerald Green has to be one.
That dude lives in Bridgetown. Dude, he lives and breathes Houston. I saw a press conference yesterday, or maybe it was today. He said he would fucking die for this city.
He would literally die for the city. Yeah, it was Berman.
He said he would fucking die for the city.
Was Mark Berman recording with his cell phone from through a Blue VHS TV?
Yes.
But dude, I like that. And Rivers is doing what now?
He's gone.
Rivers is gone.
He's going to somewhere in Northeast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. The Knicks.
We're gonna have a Lin sanity moment, or River sanity moment up there.
So anyway, the Rockets went from last week looking like they were going to be a rebuild for several years to a competitive team again, putting a competitive team.
It felt like we were on the Titanic and we knew the iceberg was coming. And this week we're like,
hey, turn right.
Shout out global warming. We may have missed that iceberg.
Yeah, no shit.
And so we don't know if we're going to sink or we're going to make it to America, but it feels better this week than it did last.
Yeah. And it all starts, camp starts Tuesday, December 1st. So
And
I think both Westbrook and Harden will be in camp, and they will begin the season as Rockets.
Yeah, I think so.
One of my ideas is, let's say both of them come back. Well, obviously they're going to come back. Let's say they both start playing. Russell struggles in the offense. They could probably try to shop him around towards the trade deadline.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to move because of how much he's making, but that's what I think we could see later on. As of right now, I don't think either of them are going
to
be traded.
Yeah, I think they both show up. It's hard to move them. You have the team, and I think once they get with Steven and hear his offense and see what's going on, I think they can buy it. Hey, yeah. And if it doesn't work, next summer we have this conversation again.
Right.
But time is on the Rockets front office side in this situation, because we saw it. They're not. It seemed like every team was trying to bend them over a barrel and be like, "Hey, take this deal." And yeah, Stone and company were just like,
"No, we're not taking that shit." No. And that's I don't like. Man, this has been so 2020 is. The national narrative towards Houston teams, actually, besides the Texans, because no one fucking talks about them, but the national narrative towards the Astros and towards the Rockets is such bullshit.
James Harden in particular.
Yeah, they just try to, you know, dog out every single thing that is Houston sports besides the Texans.
Yeah.
Let's continue to bring up the sign stealing scandal. Let's continue to bring up no one wants to play with James Harden, and no one even respects the game and the offensive genius that he is. And then, oh, okay, here we are. NBA's a little quiet. Let's start some bullshit about, oh, here we go. James Harden wants to be traded. He wants to go create a super team up in Brooklyn. Oh, hey. Oh, by the way, Russell Westbrook, demands a trade. Him and Harden are not getting along. Just dumb shit like that. Yeah. I can't stand it. I hate it. And I don't understand. I don't get it. They're pushing a certain program up in the Northeast, Bristol, Connecticut, is pushing
a narrative
of hate towards the Rockets, as of right now.
Or all Houston sports in general. They feel like it's a easy, low-hanging fruit punching bag, yeah. And they don't fucking know.
They don't know us. They don't fucking know us.
There's no objective journalism anymore.
We're stone
anymore.
And steel, baby.
Let's get into the last segment for tonight. It's our hashtag Ask Apollo. We actually got a shit ton of questions.
Yeah, I couldn't keep up, man. Yeah. My notifications were blowing
We got
up.
A lot. So let's like, run through, you know? These.
Yes.
K Mays, friend of the program, went to a couple watch parties, had a few shots, rally shots with him.
Kyle.
He says, "Marry, fuck, kill, Thanksgiving sides." We touched on it, but marry, fuck, kill.
Ooh. You got to marry one, fuck one.
Kill. Green bean casserole, mashed potatoes, stuffing, dressing.
Stuffing slash dressing?
Yes.
Okay.
Marry, fuck, kill.
I would marry dressing. I would fuck. Mashed potatoes.
That would probably feel the best.
And I would kill macaroni and cheese.
Macaroni and cheese was not listed.
What was the list?
I think you got really erotic with your mashed potatoes that you completely forgot about green bean casserole.
I'm thinking about damn mashed potatoes.
Green bean casserole you killed.
Oh, yeah. Green bean casserole is the most boring one. You would want to marry the one that's not the most erotic. But you can still get in there, you know? Yeah.
All right, so we got Space Man's answers. Brian, marry, fuck, kill, green bean casserole, that's potatoes, dressing.
Fuck, do I fall back up?
Marry, fuck, kill, Thanksgiving sides. What a fucking great question, Kyle.
All right. I'm marrying mashed potatoes because I can fuck it all I want for the rest of my life. I'm killing green bean casserole, and I'm
fucking stuffing.
And you're fucking, I'm gonna fuck the shit out of a little stuffing, you know?
Yeah. Why not?
I'm gonna exercise my right to my Fifth Amendment. All right, this is from Chillin. What's
no?
Okay, I'll do it.
You cop out on that question.
We're fucking mashed potatoes. We're marrying stuffing, and we're killing green bean casserole.
Okay. Thank you.
What?
He goes, I'm going to plead the fifth. Like, dude,
yeah, dude, what the fuck
he's
is
like,
that?
He's like, you guys
man?
Aren't married. You don't understand.
What's one current or past player individually from the Texans, Astros, and or Rockets would you invite to a Thanksgiving dinner?
That's a cool question.
That from is, Chillin. Like that one.
From
who's
Chillin,
that from?
From Chillin. At chill_HD. Friend of the program. Went to our little brewery. Okay. Out at Spindle Tap watch party. Shout out Spindle Tap. No free ads.
Spindle Tap.
We'll send you the bill.
Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
RIP to an absolute fucking legend. this dude is coming to my Thanksgiving because he fucking parties. He was jacked, yoked, good-looking dude. Bring me back Ken Caminiti.
Ooh. Oh.
The fucking GOAT.
Yes.
Let's go.
Could you imagine great that? Answer.
That'd be a party.
That's
that like,
would be a party.
That's like Jameson at like dude, 8 a.m. type yeah. party.
We're
right
talking,
oh,
yeah. We're talking about cocaine in the mashed potatoes.
I was just going right. to say.
And hitting freaking tanks
yeah, hitting
right
tanks
after.
Out, yeah, hitting tanks on the backyard.
Okay.
That's mine.
Texan. Well, one for each
yeah,
game.
One for each three.
Oh, shit. Okay. That's
Texas Astros Rockets.
Fucking Cam Cameron. Hey, what a great answer.
Texans, answer. Man. Can I go back to when they were the Oilers, or does it have to be the Texans?
Well, we can do that. That's fine.
No,
sure.
Fuck that. We'll stay with the Texans because the Oilers aren't even the Texans. Shit. Texans. Random. Eric Winston.
Ooh.
Big man.
Yes.
You know he can take down a couple brews.
Hell
you know
yeah.
he's going to knock down four or five plates. And he's probably a good old boy.
Yeah,
well, you know,
dude, your grandma is gonna love
exactly.
Eric Winston.
Exactly, yeah. Eric Winston. Shout out.
Yes. Okay, and Rockets.
Ooh, man. Oh, it's either Ray for Austin or Katino Mobley. I'm going with Katino Mobley, but I want him to show up with the afro
with
the and
fro.
The headband.
Yeah,
he would control the room. That's yeah. all it is.
Interesting.
100%. Space Man.
I think Rockets. I'm going. Meta World Peace, baby.
Ooh, I like touché. That.
I'm trying to put together this crazy Thanksgiving.
Okay. Crazy, right? Like...
Yeah.
Crazy,
if
crazy.
If you don't cook the turkey right, he might be throwing some punches.
Dude, he's throwing down. Ken Giles.
Ooh, now we have a...
Now we're throwing literal punches.
Fuck no.
Now we're throwing literal punches.
You're a madman.
And Texans... somebody boring to balance that out.
Sage Rosenfels.
Nah.
There you go, Matt Schaub, aren't you?
How about Ryan Mallett? I bet Ryan Mallett could party.
Okay, I have a story about Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett would be the guy that brings some cocaine
to your party. Had a good friend that went
yeah.
to Arkansas.
Yeah.
At a party at allegedly, before Ryan Mallett comes after Apollo, walked into a fraternity party and goes, I'm Ryan Mallett. Who's sucking my dick tonight?
I've literally heard...
At this big ass
somebody suck me.
I heard that exact story.
It's
heard that
folklore.
Exact story.
That's Ryan Mallett. So you have a pretty crazy party right there.
Yeah, and couple that with my grandma pouring up on an ice cold Coors Light.
That's a party.
Boy, that's a party. Right
my three, you got to go the franchise. You got to go Stevie.
Okay.
Strohs. Let's go Shane Reynolds. He threw every other day for the Astros, and I just feel like, hey, he's probably going to outdrink me. We're going to drink to
dude,
1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Can I interject real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Brandon Backe, I think, would be a good drink.
Brandon Backe.
I have a few beers with Brandon Backe down in the Lexus Club at Astros, and he's a very cool guy. Right,
good name drop.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'll drop the names. Watch your feet.
I don't even want to say. I don't know how y'all didn't say this. Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I feel like
he is the goat.
With
goat status.
With that Toys R Us receipt every year, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible human being.
All right. This is the next one from Lord on over on Discord. He's been a friend of the program for a while. He goes, Tucker will hit 40 dongs next season, but only if you agree to trade beards with him for the duration. Do you take the deal? Do you take his I mean, like, it's a beard like this. It's, like,
yeah.
months of work.
As maybe some of you know, some of you don't, I grow a great beard. I used to have a very full-on beard that I had for about 3 years. I would gladly trade my beard with Kyle Tucker if he hit
for
40
dongs.
Yeah.
I think that's unanimous probably.
Yeah,
right?
I would shave. Sorry, I didn't have to have that patchy bullshit.
You have to have the patches.
Oh, I have to have the patchy bullshit.
Why he hits 40 dongs? You sacrifice.
That's okay. I already got a girl, dude, so I don't need to worry about that shit.
You got your patches.
Well, I hate to be the opposite of you guys.
You
fuck
pretty
that,
boy.
Dude. I'm a single guy. I'm not wearing that pube shit on my face. No shot, dude. Kyle Tucker, figure it the fuck out, son.
Yeah, hit 39, huh, bro?
Yeah, hit 39. Don't hit 40.
David Collins asked, best Thanksgiving dish. We touched on that. I think we're unanimous on Colin fucking mashed potatoes.
No, we were unanimous on, excuse me, my grandma's cornbread stuffing, not me fucking mashed potatoes.
Mac and cheese. I would say mac
and
cheese for
it.
Me.
Nah,
This is from a good friend of the program, Mr. Dr. Asperger, PhD.
My man.
Our guy. Who we need to get him on the pod. We need to get him on.
Well, I tried to entice him. Yeah.
He doesn't want to. Doc and his alter ego or best friend, we don't know, F.A., enter a cage match. Who gets the most puss? Thank you, Dr. Asperger, for that question. I think they may be the same human being. It's a running thing.
They are.
And or they're not.
They're not. And dude, can I just get into this real quick?
You can. That's your best friend.
The strangest thing. I hang out with Dr. Asperger all the time. We live 10 minutes from each other. We hang out. Oh, I can't say his fucking real
name.
You can't.
No government names.
Okay. I call him by his real name in real life. We can't. But the man and I hang out. We hang out a couple of times a week. We have lunch or we hang out on the weekend. He's met forearms. So he says. And so I have been told, you know, dude.
Let me clear this up real quick. Mm-hmm. If you're tuning in for the first time, you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? There is Dr. Asperger and there's forearms on Astros Twitter. They're allegedly two different accounts, but there is a growing sentiment that they may be the same human being, but there's also a lot of proof that they're two different individuals, but they're always together. And it's put my mind in a fucking
blender.
Dude, let me tell you, I was convinced that they were two, that he's not, because they have, first of all, they have two different phone numbers.
We did try to figure this out at the bar.
I tried them both. I asked Asperger's wife privately, I got her number too, if he had two phone numbers, and she said no. I said, does he have a different one for his business? He runs a business. She said no. All right. So first of all, I got two phone numbers for these guys.
Why do you have his wife's number?
We're friends, David. Like I said, we all hang out. David, you're off camera. Behind. Can you please shut
the fuck up down
producer
there?
Two. Hey, peon, do not speak. God's sake, you're fucking amateur, man. No. So anyway,
that's back our on track. That's hey, our HR manager.
Back on track.
You're fired.
Yeah. Anyway, dude. So, and this was right after Dr. Asperger left my house. I texted his wife before he could have possibly known. When I had a sneaking suspicion they were the same person. And she goes, no, he's only got one number. So then I text forearms and I said, dude, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean? I just left your house. And I'm like, no. I'm like, wait, no, you did not. So I'm like, I'm totally confused by all this shit.
It anyway, could be the same person, could not be the same person. I'm in the camp of they're two different people, but I don't know.
Anyway,
that's your best friend.
I hope that was two minutes and 20 seconds precisely, so you could trim that down for the fucking podcast.
I have no fucking clue who y'all are talking about. So I'm going to set this one out, boys.
Yeah. All right. Power ranking. This is from Steven_B_90. Power ranking of Houston breweries. I'll go first. I'll say number one because they treat us very well. Spindle Tap. We had amazing watch parties there. Two, Carbot. A staple of the community. Mm-hmm. Three, Eighth Wonder.
Fantastic spot.
And then
great
fourth,
beers.
St. Arnold's. I would say of the big boys, those are my four.
Okay. Yeah, I love Spindle Tap as well. That place is great. Josh, that's your boy over there?
Yeah.
Josh treats us great.
Great bartenders
are fantastic. My favorite beer coming out of Houston, though, is Yellow Rose IPA from Lone Pine.
Ooh.
Up in Magnolia. I have not been to the brewery, but that is my favorite Houston beer. I love going to Eighth Wonder.
This is a great spot. I mean, it's right there.
It's a cool spot.
You can get to the Rockets game, to the Astros game.
Yeah.
A hop, skip, and jump.
They got a food truck out there all the time. And then my favorite new one, there's one up here on the north side called Fortress Brewery.
Okay.
They're off of Spring Steamer, and man, it's on a cool little piece of property. They have this awesome warehouse with this big yard, and the beers are great, and they got a food truck out there as well. It's a cool spot.
So I'm going to get crushed for this. I've never been to Carbock, never been to Spindle Tap, never been to Eighth Wonder, never been to...
You get out at all?
What's the one up in Conroe that's Blonde Bombshell? What is that, B-52? Never been there. I've been to Fortress, which is actually right down the street from your old Samba grounds, Klein Collins.
Mm-hmm.
It's off of Spring Cypress.
But I just said,
yeah. So Spring Cypress, yeah.
Spring Steamer.
Spring Cypress.
My bad. Josh, bleep that when I said spring steamer and then replace it.
Yeah, so I've been to Fortress and I've been to the Buffalo Brewing Company.
Oh yeah, that's a dark horse. I haven't been down there.
Buffalo Brewing is it's a nice spot. It's got it's literally probably got the best view of a lot of places. Come out on the third deck and you can literally see the entire skyline.
That's badass.
So that's pretty badass. The beer's good.
Yeah.
Fortress, I love the Fortress. I'm not really a big inner loop guy. Mm-hmm. Traveling in and out of Houston for when I was covering the Astros and Rockets gets old. I'll say it, especially living up here on the north side, driving 35 minutes every freaking day for, 7, 8, 9, 10 10 game homestands.
Yeah.
Friends of mine would want to go down into the inner loop for Saturday nights. And I would just say, no, I'm not going. I'll go to Bearbacks over in spring.
Yeah.
You know,
love Bearbacks.
Yeah. Old Bearback.
We should do something there.
Hey,
they've got a great patio.
We good. And they just put a big old screen up there. Yeah.
Did they really?
I watched the World Series there in 2019.
Yeah. You probably saw me there because I was there for quite when they were playing in New York. I didn't get to go in New York.
Yeah. No free ads.
No free ads. Bearback, Cobo.
Yeah. They've got a great patio. All right, out back.
We'll
so,
check it out for
but yeah, sure. I've only really been to two breweries around here. So yeah, maybe I should get out more.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have more watch parties places.
That's what I'm post COVID. I think that is going to be can I say this?
Yes.
This is going to be the format of this thing. We're going to start hosting this at breweries.
Travel shows.
Yeah. I'm in.
The Brewcast.
It's going to be.
The Brew. No, it can't be the Brew.
We're trying
cruise.
To
that's
find a, we're trying to find a nest.
A home.
For this podcast. I mean,
look, you can have your sponsor in your name here.
Yeah. First of all, if you haven't bought all these shirts, you're a fake Apollo fan. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Josh, don't say whoa.
This is a good segue. We can get a producer over here with a question. How did the apparel idea come up and how did we get players like Carlos and Lance to wear it? Dumb luck. I've said it a million times. We fall ass backwards into success here.
Yeah. Well, I think what did it was we sometimes will make a stupid funny video, or we will make and when I say we, I mean Josh over here by camera two.
Camera two.
We'll make absolutely excellent highlight reel hype videos.
And Jacob. Young
Jacob also does that. David will make incredible Photoshop ads. David, pan over here to
camera,
David.
Camera no, three, I'm pan kidding. To producer two.
Yeah. but, we get the attention of these athletes, and it's really cool to us when we see, and especially with Josh. Josh does most of the graphic design for the T-shirts and stuff. So when you see these athletes wearing something that you have built, and then we have a small following relatively to the team. When the team is taking photos and posting it on their social
media. On the main account.
Man, that is something special. And that has happened. Carlos has been wearing Josh's design. Lance McCullers. All these guys wearing the designs. That is something special to us.
Tanaloo, Straw, B-Lack.
Yeah.
Bailey when he was still here. I mean, a lot of the guys.
That shit is so cool to me. And I think what we should work on is getting Rockets and Texans and Dynamo and Dash 100%. People wearing some gear.
100%.
We just got to make something worthwhile for them to wear. But that is something that has grown the brand significantly.
Yeah, I think the mantra itself, H-Town versus everyone, and it was in a time where it was Houston versus everyone. And we were like, hey, this is our line. This is what we're going to do. And the players bought in, or the community brought in, the city bought in, and kind of that mantra. It's really cool to see an idea where we can all be in our group message and we're talking and we're bouncing ideas off each other. And then it comes to paper and then it comes to product and you see a little success with people buying it. You're like, oh, that's really cool. But when you see these all-star athletes rocking your gear, that's when you're just like, pinch me. This is a dream type situation.
Real? Yeah. No, it's awesome.
Next question. If XFL could survive in Houston, why can't the NHL?
Well, the NHL has never been in Houston. We had a minor league hockey team, the Arrows. God bless them. I love going to those Arrows game. My neighbor growing up, I think Shell, he worked for Shell. They gave him free tickets and he gave them to me and my dad. to take me to these games because he didn't want to go to them. But goddamn, I love going to those hockey games. They were so much fun.
I think we're a hockey city. We just don't know yet.
Yeah, I think I'm dude, in agreement with you. I'm very shocked that we don't have. You have the arena.
Yeah.
Okay. The Toyota Center can definitely house an NHL team.
Yes.
You've got billionaire owners here. Now, I'll probably say I would not be a fan if Tillman Fertitta wanted to go and buy an NHL team.
Well, and he's the one that's kind of he's kind of the one that's talked about it a little bit.
I feel like
there's just no way you can buy it now with all in the restaurant and hotel hospitality business. There's no way he has the cash flow.
No, not now.
He's got the cash. Give me a break. You know what?
But let's get an NHL.
If Dallas can have four major sports teams, why can Houston not?
100%.
They've got the Dallas Stars, the Arlington Rangers, the Dallas Cowgirls, and the Dallas Mavericks.
Assault.
So. Very, very well put, Brian.
Assault.
Those are
playing Dallas.
Assault.
Yeah. That's true.
Producer too.
The Arlington Cowboys also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, and I might as well tell you all this while we're here. I almost got assaulted one time because I was jogging. My cousin lives in Arlington, and I was wearing an Astros shirt, and I was jogging near the stadiums. They're right next to each other, and. Some guy drove by me with his car door open and said, "Hey, motherfucker." I was like,
"That was a pretty good McConaughey."
I had my headphones in and I'm like, "What's up?" And he goes, "Fuck the Astros." And this was in before they won the World Series. This was like in 2015 and the Astros were okay.
Beating the Yankees.
They did beat the Yankees and Keuchel won the Cy Young. Yeah. So, but. Anyway, I thought this guy was about to hop out of the car and fucking stab me. Anyway,
have you guys been to a major hockey game before?
Yes, I've been to the Vegas Knights game.
Oh,
and it
was
a fucking, I don't remember it, but I remember it being a party.
You shouldn't remember it. Yeah.
It was a party.
I bought a Vegas Knights hat when I was in Vegas last October, and that's my hockey team.
Yeah.
I've never been to a game. I've never watched a game.
I went to a, what is it? The Pittsburgh Penguins and Dallas Stars game in Pittsburgh.
That's
in early December a couple years
ago. Pittsburgh knows how to party.
Yeah, see, that's what we thought. So we bought – a coworker and I went to a work conference. We stayed at the hotel that shared the little walkway to the arena. We bought fourth row seats, so we were right up on the ice. And we got tanked. I'm just going to be honest. We got tanked. We were hammering Labatt Blues.
Hell yeah.
And dude, screaming and, you know, trying to get fights to get started. And everybody was, like, real tame. And we finally asked, like, some people next to us. And they said, "Yeah, the big rival, like the big energy doesn't come until playoffs. You guys really look like y'all are jackasses. We can tell that you're not from here." We're like, "Okay, well,
fuck you too." Then.
Yeah, I guess.
Did you flex on any of those nerves or no?
No, I just ordered another tall boy and said, "Fuck it, let's keep getting hammered."
I would have thrown a beer at him for sure.
Yeah,
don't disrespect me like that in a city that's not mine.
Yeah, they said we can tell you guys aren't from here.
You know what I should have said? Hey, we don't have hockey in my city, dude. I came here to watch some fucking hockey. What's the problem?
But
right,
either way, the actual game was badass.
Yeah,
so I would love one. I would love to cover hockey. I don't know shit about it, but I would love to learn it, mm-hmm. and I would love to go as a fan. And I would just love if we had another major sports team here in Houston.
I would too.
For more heartbreak.
And well,
pretty much, yeah.
For more heartbreak. I'll say, though, dude, when you watch hockey, you're like, man, these guys are fucking good at this game. They're all good at it.
They're fucking massive, too.
I don't know how they fucking skate that fucking fast.
Do you know Ochara for the Bruins?
I don't.
He's 6'8".
Do I look like I watch hockey in my spare time?
He's 6'8". Then put him on skates. He's their enforcer.
Yeah. He's 6'8"?
He's 6'8". And
he's
then
just hauling ass and just
laying people
out. And
then you put
out?
Him on skates, so he's like 7 foot.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
That's badass.
That is
like
badass.
Bring that to Houston.
That's no, a, yeah. That's like the
enforcer.
Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Dude, you want to talk about
never seen
somebody
Game of Thrones.
Just like what? Dude, do you watch television?
I don't watch. I don't.
That's
no,
all right.
I don't.
We're gonna put together a list.
Yeah,
we're gonna
speed you up on pop culture. You know what? We're gonna put you on pop culture as your beat, and you're gonna have to watch everything.
Pop
to get
culture
up.
Is not Game of Thrones.
Yes, it is.
Game of Thrones is like for basic bitches.
No, it's that for
no
it's for
there.
Scholars.
It's popular.
It's for education.
Is for basic
yeah,
bitches.
Popular yeah. culture, bro.
Yeah, all right, popular. Next question. This is from our Astros fan UK. Straight up, we touched on it earlier. Does Carlos Carrera remain an Astro when 2022 rolls around?
God, I hope.
Yes
so.
Or no?
I'm saying yes.
Yes.
I'll say no.
I'd say they'll pony for him, dude, because they're not ponying for Springer. Like you said, they got two big pitchers coming off payroll. They got all these rookie pitchers that have overperformed, and God knows who what they're going to do. Pennies. Huh?
We're paying them pennies, too. Locked in.
Exactly. And they're locked in for pennies. And so you never know, dude. I mean, you look at the top five pitchers for the last two seasons. It's like Chris Sale, Verlander, Greinke, and someone else that I can't remember. Yeah, Garrett Cole is number one.
And Bieber.
Sorry. And Biebs. And I forgot about that. But, dude, I'm telling you, all these guys that came up and overperformed big time, God, did that make you guys feel good or what?
I feel great. I was shaky about the future.
It makes you feel good about the future.
Yeah. Dude, it's unbelievable.
So pay the present.
Dude, no one thought the Astros were going to get that far. Pay the present. And that was due to those rookie pitchers. There was like 10 of them.
You had guys that hadn't thrown higher than high A. Dude's coming out of Fayetteville. Dude's coming out of Little Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, those are fucking single A and double A affiliates.
Yeah, exactly. And next season, who knows, these guys may have the fucking scouting report on these pitchers and tee off on them or whatever. But I'm telling you right now, they look great.
Yeah. From Choco, assuming JBJ signs, what is your expectations on the top three targets for Click for the final outfield spot we need to fill? Tucker's projected at left field, but I'm seeing expectations of him playing in right, getting a good left fielder who's decent on both sides of the ball. What is your take?
Mm.
So he's saying that
Bradley in this Jr. situation, JBJ is our center fielder that we go get. Okay. Tucker's in right. Who is your left fielder?
Who's your left fielder?
I would say in a perfect world, Michael Brantley.
Yeah, in a perfect world.
God, you got to hope Brantley. But don't forget
who... Aledmys Diaz.
Hey, Diaz Mr. plays Utility. Outfield. He does.
In a COVID world.
In a COVID world.
In a COVID world.
Don't forget who's on the market and is probably going to be cheap. Leads the league in WAP. WAP.
You're going to say Jake Mariznick?
Jake Mariznick.
Can we?
Hey, he can fill a hole.
Camera two.
Yeah, I bet he can fill a hole.
Camera two. Turn off mic number two. Camera two. Turn mic number two off.
Yeah, Jake Mariznick can fill a hole. Baby.
Expectation on Pedro Leon when the Astros sign him. I think the kid's a stud. I think he's a 2022-2023 piece.
I'm under educated on who that is.
Top Cuban signee that we're going to get in the international signing that's been pushed back for a year now.
Who asked that question?
From Choco again. Oh, what is the expectation on Pedro Leon?
So here's the thing. The Astros have been known to develop pitchers into becoming something better than they were when they were acquired.
Because Brent Strom is a goat.
Brent Strom is a goat god. So he can take a Pirates Garrett Cole and get him 400 trillion. What's this contract? 400 billion with the Yankees. Yes. Anyway, so, dude, isn't it just so fucking annoying how anytime there's a free agent, Yankees fans are like, just go get him, because they're so accustomed to the Yankees just going and getting
whatever they want.
It's very fucking annoying to me.
Must be nice.
It must be nice. Anyway, I just lost my train of thought. What are we talking about?
Yeah, Pedro Leon. I don't know how you got on Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
Outfielder. Yeah, well, outfielder.
Dude. Oh, he's a... yeah, he's a pitcher. Fuck, I don't know. Bring him up then.
Shout out Arica Heights for giving Colin the juice. No, I think Pedro Leon is a 2022-2023 piece at the end of the day. It'll be...
Fucking A.
This is it. That's our Apollo Hour. That was not an hour again. Episode 2 brought to you by sponsor A, sponsor B, sponsor C. Slide in the DMs. You can sponsor this shit or not after you watch it all and realize, like, hey, we're not going to do this anytime. But we're going to keep churning these Apollo Hours out.
Yeah, say we won't.
Say we won't.
We will.
Say we won't.
Put that on a shirt.
Yeah, say we won't.
Say we won't.
I got to thank my man, Cobos, right here is a free ad. My man cooked my turkey for tomorrow. He's doing fucking great.
I hope the producers can put this together because we talked a lot about Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving's in 12 hours. Like when we're all sitting down eating.
Yeah.
Brian, thank you. Thank you for joining the team. Thanks
thank
for coming
you guys.
Out, dude.
I'm excited for what's coming. What's lying yeah. ahead?
Oh, we're gonna line these we're out.
More keep... Apollo hours. More hype videos. More
Twitch
content. Twitch. Let's make Boss. It happen. Yeah, I'm excited. I look forward to it.
Hmm?
Go you ahead, want, speak up.
Do we want to do the bomb sauce?
No, we're not eating the bomb. I'm not eating the bomb.
I'm not doing any kind of sauce.
Brian, this, you what, don't want to do the bomb sauce?
David,
this isn't college, and I'm not getting hazed to be into a fraternity.
Well, you are the new guy.
Yeah.
We'll wait for the bomb sauce.
The man says, can I shotgun a beer on tape?
But we won't say do yes, the bomb sauce.
But he doesn't do it.
No.
Give me a key. The carpet.
Nah.
Who's got a key?
All right. Nah, we're not.
We outie. Love you guys.
Okay. One parting word.
Camera. Oh.
But cut it off right when I say that. Cut it off right when I say that, Joe.